Our scripture lesson today is taken from the first letter of Peter, the first chapter beginning with the third verse. If you're reading along, I'm told that it's on page 232 in the New Testament section of your pew Bibles. And I hope that reference is correct. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you've had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy word. Would you be seated? You believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. Let us pray. In our songs, in our prayers, in our speaking, and in our silence, whisper to us, Holy Spirit, in the Christ. Amen. Well, we're now in week three of the season of Easter. Just like Christmas has 12 days, despite the fact that some people trash their trees on the 26th, Easter has 7 weeks, and Easter does not end until Pentecost begins. Pentecost being the 50th day, you know, like Penta, like Pente, you got it. Anyway, so if you wander into a church that uses liturgical colors at all during this season, you will see white, the color of joy. And that's going to go on until Pentecost rolls around. And what that also means is, ladies, if you fail to wear an Easter bonnet on Easter Sunday, or even if you did and you own 2 bonnets, you can wear an Easter bonnet next Sunday. And as a matter of fact, ladies, I would suggest that you get together and all agree that next Sunday you are all going to wear Easter bonnets. Don't tell Barbara ahead of time. Just show up, okay? So during this 49 days, we're supposed to be joyful because that's what Easter is all about. 7 weeks of nonstop, never take a break, unremitting, day after day, joy. No grouchiness, ever. No complaining at all. No sorrow, no matter what. No pain and no exceptions. No stubbing your toe, and even if you do, you're supposed to grin like a demented circus clown through it and never end. Oh, come on, let's be realistic. Good grief, and I do mean grief, nobody can be expected to sing "Don't Worry, Be Happy" for 7 solid weeks. You know, I saw the kids up here, and one of the advantages of youth is that, for the most part, youngsters are insulated from the larger horrors that we see on television and all those sorts of things. I mean, it's not to say that kids don't have worries, but the very young don't have those kinds of deep concerns about the future of the entire world. I mean, after all, grade school youngsters may worry about a failing grade in class, but they're spared the anxieties of more significant failures later on in life. And teens may on occasion grieve for a classmate's untimely death, but for the most part, they haven't approached my stage of life where you begin to see your peers dropping off and hitting the ground like bottle flies on the warm side of the house on a spring morning. One more gone. Sorrow, regret, dreams deferred, prayers either unanswered or answered in a way that we would rather not have seen. It's all a part of life. And yet, here we are. It's the season of Easter, and the writer of 1 Peter talks about rejoicing with an indescribable and glorious joy. What kind of self-deception is that? But then, you know, what we experience as joy is not necessarily related to where we are right now on life's journey. Now, I want you to take a good look at me, okay? I want you to know that not too many years ago, I was on the staff of the YMCA in Bar Harbor, Maine. And you're looking and saying, "Oh, really?" Well, I raise money. You don't have to be slim in order to do that. But I got to talking with some long-distance runners there. Now, these are not people who spend the entire course of a half marathon or a full marathon being happy about what they're experiencing. No matter how much advanced conditioning there is, as the race goes on, muscles start to complain. And arthritis may be decades in the future, but at about mile 20, there are premonitions of things yet to come. And these races are run in Maine, which means that it's either too hot or too cold or too wet or too dry, or, you know, the hills are too steep going up or too steep going down. Now, imagine yourself as a television reporter, okay? The camera person is running next to you, and you're directly in front of one of these runners, and you're running backwards as fast as that person is running forward with your microphone, and your question to the runner is, and it's about mile 20, "Are you having fun yet?" Now, the answer that you might get probably would not fit well in a Sunday morning sermon, but there you are, and yet, if they thought about it, they would tell you that the present discomfort is less important than what's lying ahead, the finish line, and the joy of having completed that race. It's not now, it's in the anticipation. And so maybe the scripture writer is not so crazy after all. Maybe what he's talking about is our own personal Holy Weeks and Easters, and every one of us has died more than once. And I'm not talking about getting your heart jolted with those paddles, although some of you may have had that experience too. I'm talking about goals and expectations and plans and arrangements. I'm talking about marriages and jobs and business plans and all the rest, and despite all of your best efforts and all of your best intentions, whatever it was, it died. And it failed. and you failed, if you've lived, you've died more than once. Whatever it was, it didn't work. It didn't work out. And it looked and it felt, and you felt like that bottle fly dropping to the ground on the sunny side of the house with nothing to look forward to but the vacuum cleaner. But you know what? It was not the end. You're here. You made it. Some combination of people and circumstances and strengths that you may not have known about, that resources that you didn't even know you had, and you're here. That death was not the end. And you may not want to call it resurrection, but you're here. You're present. And because you're here, there is more than your past. There is also your future. And for you, there are yet more finish lines ahead. And I don't care how old you are, that's the truth. And that's a reason for joy, even if bad stuff is raining down on you, even right now. Now, notice that to this point, I haven't talked about anything beyond this earthly life. But, of course, this is the season of resurrection, so let's talk about it now. Now, I don't know what your personal views are about a life beyond this one. And I suspect if we went around and everybody was honest with everybody else, we'd have more than one view, probably a whole bunch. Doesn't matter. I will tell you right now, your ideas are probably wrong, and so are mine. I met a taxi driver once who, he found out what I did for a living, and he said, I'm going to get into heaven before you do. I'm going to have preference. And I said, why is that? And he said, well, you preachers, when you're working, half the people are sleeping. When I'm working, everybody is awake, and most of them are praying. I was at a church a little while ago. Preacher there is a friend, and that morning he decided that rather doing a normal sermon, as people came in, they got a 3x5 card, and at the beginning of the service he said, write down some question that you have about faith and religion, and I'll try to answer as many of those questions as I can. So I thought, okay, I'm going to come up with some sort of thing that's going to stump him. And so I wrote my question, and it went forward with the rest. Well, he must have recognized my handwriting. He got to my card as he was going through and answering the questions, and he read aloud the question, my dog died, will I see him in heaven? And he peered down over the pulpit, looking directly into my eyes, and said, Ashmal, we know your dog's going to make it. And yet, you know, even for those of us who aren't so sure, to arrive at that finish line sweating from the effort though we may be and our muscles aching from the strain of the race, there is the conviction that even then the love of God will not fail. And perhaps we too will hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, if you're among those who aren't quite sure that there is anything for you after all of the lines go flat on that monitor and they pull the sheet up over your face, well, it is the season of Easter. And so maybe the good that you can do and the joy that you can feel isn't all done once they unplug those screens. It's the season of Easter. And maybe, just maybe, your ideas are wrong too. So the word today is rejoice. Rejoice. Not because life is easy. We know it's not. Not because we will be spared the little deaths of failure and disappointment along the way. We know that's the way it is. Not because we will avoid trials and tribulations, because we all have our share. Rejoice. because beyond every finish line, there is, by the grace of God, joy. So happy Easter again, and with the rest of us, rejoice. Amen.